There's spending, and then there's spending.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. As we go back and forth over whether this economy is starting to recover, pretty much everyone's agreed consumer spending is hugely important. This morning, the government said consumer spending rose in June a little more than expected. But analyst Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company has looked more closely at those figures, and she says Americans have not begun to spend on the big stuff.
Consumer spending was up about 0.5%, Wall Street cheered, but it was all due to buying food and gas, and that rose due to inflation. Consumers are still buying only when they need to replace things. Bottom line, the equation is still no jobs, no income, no real spending.
And the other half of this morning's economic news was that in June, American incomes saw their biggest drop in 4.5 years. The S&P 500 is down 0.2%, and the NASDAQ down 0.3%, but the Dow is flat, just down less than 4 points at 9,282. European stocks are lower this morning. BMW reported a 76% decline in second quarter profits. Asian shares were mixed today. Toyota showed an $800 million quarterly loss, but that was better than expected. The British bank Northern Rock has posted another big loss, just over $1 billion the first half of this year. You may remember Northern Rock as one of the harbingers of the financial meltdown. The bank did some very risky lending, and a couple of years ago, its depositors found out how deeply in debt it was, and they staged a run on deposits, which led the British government to nationalize the bank. Now the government is splitting up Northern Rock, shedding its toxic assets on the way to reprivatizing it. My guest is David Sheriff, the Britain business correspondent for The Economist newspaper. Hi, David.
Good morning, Bill.
Why should we care about the story of Northern Rock? What does it say beyond itself?
It was a disaster for the reputation of London as a financial center. It was a disaster for the government because they took so long to decide what to do with it. So that it's a landmark in that sense. It was the first test of crisis management, and I'm afraid they failed.
And what repercussions does the failure of that crisis management test have?
It's a reputational issue. For instance, when we're, as a country, negotiating with the European Union, we carry less weight than we used to. We can't stroll into Brussels saying, well, we know how to run banks, because I'm afraid that hasn't proved to be the case.
What parallels can we draw, if any, between Northern Rock and the American banking meltdown?
Well, Northern Rock became a huge problem because the Bank of England, bless it, didn't see the light soon enough and didn't deal with the problem. So I think the lesson for banks that go bust in the States is act promptly. And I think that is something that the Fed and others have managed to do.
David Sheriff is the Britain business correspondent for The Economist. David, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
During the peak of the housing boom, glossy home magazines like Dwell celebrated the rise of modern prefab architecture. These are the factory-built homes with clean lines and green materials that were supposed to reshape the building industry. That is, until the housing market crashed. But that doesn't mean green prefab is dead. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
Architect Leo Marmo realized his dream in this sprawling warehouse south of downtown Los Angeles to build modern prefab homes on a factory assembly line.
The steel frames themselves were put together outside on those large jigs and then literally slid into the factory to roll direct down this track assembly on the factory floor.
Marmo says the manufacturing process reduced construction waste by as much as 40%, and as green building began to catch on, business was looking up. Then,
when the credit market fell to pieces, the prefab market went with it.
Today, most of this 65,000-square-foot warehouse sits empty, but Marmo remains optimistic.
There's always been this utopian dream of trying to make better design more available to our communities.
Meaning more affordable. But Los Angeles Times architecture critic Christopher Hawthorne says Marmol's factory was missing a key ingredient to achieving that affordability: scale.
The prefab designs are probably more progressive in terms of sustainability than they are in terms of economics.
But some companies are adapting. Boston's Blue Homes has thrived despite the recession. It has about 50 homes currently in its pipeline and a merger with another company in the works. Co-founder Maura McCarthy says Blue Homes' success is simple.
We didn't start, you know, trying to be the Armani of homes.
They did set out to become the IKEA of homes, offering modern green design at affordable prices.
You know, you can't have clients putting them together as much, but you can definitely have them designing them and having more influence on how to put the elements of the home together.
McCarthy says Blue Homes prefab houses cost as little as $135 a square foot. That's about half the price of Leo Marmol's models. And with energy bill savings of up to 60% compared to other houses, McCarthy says the recession isn't killing prefab. It's finally making it cost competitive. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
And finally, the Walmart effect is felt all over the globe, and apparently that extends to Girl Scout cookies. Advertising Age reports Walmart has been testing cookies for its in-house brand. And an Ohio woman, the mother of a Girl Scout, has noticed a similarity between Walmart's cookies and the Girl Scout's two most popular offerings, Thin Mints and Tagalongs. The mom wants to know how the Girl Scouts can raise money if their customers can easily find Thin Mints at a retail giant. No comment from Walmart yet, and no word on whether the Girl Scouts are planning to sell cheap outdoor furniture. Let's check Wall Street again. The Dow is about as flat as you can get, down a tenth of a point at 9,286. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.